This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a podcast edition of Global Sounds on Joy 94.9. In Melbourne, you can tune in on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. on 94.9 FM, or online at joy.org.au/listen-live. For more information, visit joy.org.au/global-sounds.
My body's trembling, my body's trembling, my body's trembling.
I know what I want my girl to do, and I know blindfolded you'd be feeling it too, and I know with the little ray in the room, baby, it's cold outside, I'm better setting the mood, and I know that you gotta work in the day, and I know that you gotta work for your pay, and I know something that I'm gonna give you away, but if you're in tonight, well then it's on tonight.
That was Batucada Sound Machine with a track called Trembling. The New Zealand group Batacada Sound Machine has been touring in Australia and are in Melbourne as part of the Australian World Music Expo. They'll be performing at the East Brunswick Club tomorrow night. And we have Richie Alexson-Vook from Batacada Sound Machine with us tonight. Welcome to Global Sounds on Joy 94.9.
Thanks, guys. Hey, cheers.
Actually, why don't you guys start by introducing yourself and what you play?
Yeah, Rich. Sure. Richie's the name, and I play guitar in the band and also sing a few lead songs and then do backup vocals for the rest of the tunes.
Right. Alex?
Yeah, my name's Alex. I play bass guitar, and that's about it.
Don't be so modest.
And I'm Vuk. I do the keyboards and the synths, and I'm kind of a baby of the band, so I'm still finding my footing a little bit, but yeah.
Oh, how long have you been with the band?
Just for probably a year and a half, yeah.
Okay.
The band began in 2003 in Auckland, I believe, and now has a lineup of some 13 members.
Correct.
Can you tell us what sort of instruments most of them play or what the lineup is?
Yeah, absolutely. I could make a list for you. Quite boring, but I'll try and like. Basically, there's a percussion section which incorporates three Brazilian drums called the sudu, the massive bass drum. We also have another percussionist called Darren who plays timbales, snares, and sort of... I don't know, what do you call the wood blocks
and he plays congas and sometimes as well.
Yeah, congas as well. And then we have your basic rhythm section, the three of us, obviously, guitar, bass and keyboards. We have another guitarist, three horns.
They were good.
Yep, they've got their own little glee club happening, the Traxedos.
Yeah, the Traxedos, yes.
Yeah, send in your feedback. Traxedos, Andrew on trumpet, Ollie on trombone, and
Kelly,
thank you.
There's too many people.
There's only 13. Kelly on sax.
My next question was going to be, and how do you manage all those 13 people?
Yeah, well, it just happens, you know. It just sort of happens naturally, I guess. Rehearsal-wise, we don't get a full 13 to the rehearsals, as often happens. We tend to get sort of the bulk of it, which is drums, bass, the odd percussion. And James, our leader, who's been there from the start and whose idea this was, he's always there. And then we'll, more often than not, the horns may practice separately and vocalists might get together, and then we'll sort of all bring it in together as one.
It's really like a big symphony or an orchestra where they don't always rehearse together. They have to practice it separately and then bring it all together. Do you have a space in Auckland where you, like the 13 of you, if you have a chance to get together?
Yeah, our sound guy has got a rehearsal space that he's, which is another of his businesses. And we're lucky enough to have the biggest studio they have there, which we need for 13 of us. But like Richie said, we don't always get all there. And another thing is we've got guys. Well, Darren comes from Wellington, so he can't rehearse with us unless we fly him up. Or sometimes he stays in Auckland for a couple of days and stuff like that. So that could be a bit.
It's like flying from Sydney to Melbourne. So it's that sort of difference.
So it's a bit of a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, it can be, especially when you come over here or anywhere outside of New Zealand. In fact, you know.
Richie, you've been writing and playing music from an early age. How did you sort of get into that?
I just had guitars in the house. My dad was not so much a musician, just was interested in music, you know. He had a couple of guitars lying around.
Wow.
He'd play casually in sort of folk groups, but his main thing was he was a singer in choirs, church choirs and things like that. The guitars were just lying around, and I just picked them up, I guess, as toys originally, and then would develop from into playing songs, very basic songs, Sloop John B, Polly Wally Doodle all the day,
that sounds a good
things like that. That kind of platform, and from there, you know, you just started really. I guess I just embraced it.
Yeah, and Vuk and Alex, or how did you get into?
How did we get into music? I actually started playing piano, which I don't play anymore, unfortunately, when I was five, and I've just been picking it up. I started where my parents just saw that I could hear music because I'd pick up the Sesame Street theme or whatever I was listening to when I was a kid on the piano, and they, wow, we could get piano lessons. Never been
chopsticks too, no doubt.
Yeah, pretty much everything. I also do remember playing the pots when I was a kid as well. That was the beginning of my musical career.
Awesome. You should bring that back, eh? I think. Bring that back into the band.
I kind of grew up with a lot of European music because I grew up in Belgrade in Serbia. And I was really exposed to music of Jean-Michel Jarre back then. Yeah, yeah. And he was really big thing for me as I was growing up. And then Enigma came around. But then Aussie bands such as AC/DC as well. So I don't know. Then when I moved to New Zealand, I had this big mess in my head. And just Latin music.
How long have you been in New Zealand?
Since 1994. Oh. So yeah, a while.
Can you explain to the listeners, and I don't know who's going to answer, what's the major difference between the Brazilian and the Cuban percussion that you're playing?
I won't be answering that one.
Maybe. I'm a trained teacher and stuff. I've got a degree in music, so hopefully I can shed some light on that. Well, I think the main difference between Cuban and Brazilian percussion, I mean, there's a big difference in what the drums actually are, but the biggest difference, I think, is actually the feel that is happening between Cuban music and Brazilian music. Brazilian music has got a swing, a little bit like jazz. Mm-hmm. It's not as pronounced as jazz, but it's still there, and it's a very unique thing to them. And Cuban music is based on the clave, so it's got its own kind of internal rhythm. And any salsa song you hear is going to have some certain type of clave, which Brazilian music is more usually is based on a march. It's a two feel, so it's more the feel so much more so than the percussion. They use similar sounding instruments.
Because even though you call yourselves Batucada, you don't play just Brazilian music. You actually play salsa. And actually even some samba, not just batucada. Yeah. So obviously, as a musician, do you sort of switch mentally to get into different feels that the music gives you?
Well, it's all been a big learning experience for all of us, I think, because we've all come from very different musical backgrounds. Mm. James, the band leader, it was his baby, and he had gone to Brazil and he'd learnt all this stuff. And in fact, he was leading the, they call it AK Samba, which is a samba group in Auckland, just a sort of community group, and they got a whole bunch of Brazilian instruments, and they made this samba group. And then our band grew out of some of the best guys in that came and started playing with us, and then we started fusing different elements, funk music. Mm. You know, Richie was playing in a band, $1 million, led a band, $1 million, which is a funk band. And then guys coming from different backgrounds, dub bands. Mm. There's a band D-Dub that a few of our members came from.
And jazz groups as well.
Yeah.
So those, all of those elements came onto it, and we all had to learn individually. Okay, now we're going to play this samba song. Okay, how does the bass go in a samba song? I don't know. Like, let's figure it out. But a lot, everyone in the band is really into music, so we've really studied this stuff. Yeah.
So actually, I guess because you're so much into music, enjoy it so much, then it's not an effort to actually learn a new style of music. It's more like trying to discover something new.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Vuk actually was playing, he's probably had more Latin experience than both of us, me and Richie, because he was playing in a band when he just got out of high school. Oh, you can tell him the story.
I think a really important thing to why it all works is that it's a really potent mixture of both really goodwill from most of the members, because, you know, it does take a lot of goodwill and a lot of effort to make things happen. But then there is an element of dictatorship as well, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. You know, but you do need a steady hand, and that's
13 people.
And that is usually James. So there is an orchestrator, you know, there is somebody that everybody is looking at all the time, and that's why things don't fall apart, you know, because it's more important to listen than to play in many situations, and just to be on the cue and just to sort of be aware at every moment what's going on around you.
We're talking to Richie, Alex and Vuk from the Batucada Sound Machine.
And I was going to ask Richie this one. The band has played numerous festivals both at home and overseas. You've been to some of these festivals, have you?
Yep, I've been to most of them. I've missed just one from another commitment.
What's been the best experience for you in attending some of those, or which one?
WOMAD
or
WOMAD. I mean, it's sort of obvious to say that WOMAD was one of the best because it's one of the biggest ones we played at, but it really was one of the best ones. That was in the UK.
Right.
We played in WOMAD UK in Reading. I think it was back in 2006. And it was just a shambles getting there, I remember. And to turn up and play, you know, one of the biggest sort of gigs at that time of our careers. And to, you know, just really, really bring everything we could to it. It just stuck in my mind. It was a huge crowd. I mean, we're not used to playing those kind of crowds. Back then, we got a little bit more familiar with it, but there was still a massive crowd. Really enjoyed the Byron Bay Blues and Roots Festival as well. We did two gigs, I think, around about the same time, 2006, and just a really good time, really nice spot.
And how was the Australasian World Music Expo for you guys past weekend? How was it for you, Vuk?
It was really, really good. It was a real pleasure sort of being part of it in the first place because we got to meet heaps of other acts. A lot of them were from New Zealand, but then a lot of them from Australia, from the other parts of the world. So, you know, like on the night that we were playing, there were heaps of New Zealand bands. So it was kind of, you know.
But it was a New Zealand showcase.
Yes, well, exactly.
Don't give it away.
But, yeah, I mean, I have to say everything was really beautifully organized. The stage, the people involved, how they were treating us and everything. You know, I think it was a really nice experience. And we really tried to lift it to another level, think, you know, because of great reception that we received.
And
great, yeah, that's good to hear. It was an important gig for us, you know.
To me, it was probably, for me personally, because I haven't done WOMAD and all those other huge gigs, this kind of equaled Perth about a year ago, because that was another really memorable gig.
Yeah.
That we've done, and it was that level of niceness, if you will.
On Joy 94.9, this is Global Sounds, diverse music without borders.
the New Zealand group Batakata Sound Machine there with a track called God of Nations. And we have three members of the band in with us tonight, Richie, Alex and Vuk. And the next question I was going to ask you is your current album, Rhythm and Rhyme, had input from Neil Sparks of Trans Global Underground and Temple of Sound fame. How did that come about? Who's going to tell me that?
Richie, even though he's messing around with his shoe, is probably the best one to answer this because I didn't go to the UK with the band.
You're not going to throw it at
us. Okay, no, sorry. Can I take these off? yes, so we met Neil Sparks at that at the WOMAD gig that I was talking about previously. Yeah, he met James and he something about the band connected with him, and he said, look, I'm interested, here's my card. Basically, you know, get hold of me, let's have a talk about it in the future. And when it came time to doing the album, he was the first man that sort of was floated, and James called him, and they worked out the details, and we flew Neil out and stuck him up in a hotel in Auckland, and I think it was a 3-week process that we recorded the album over. Maybe it was less than that, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, about 2-3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was brilliant. I personally had never worked with a producer before. It's a different story, you know. It's a strange sort of beast. I guess they guide you, and I mean, he was good in terms of like, okay, I see you've got the structure of the songs there already. I'm not going to screw with those too much. But what I can do is I can, within that structure, I can sort of lift up things here and suggest things here. And he did it very well, you know. There was no tension. You know, I guess that's a big part of being a producer is learning how to communicate with the musicians and not, you know, not get on the wrong side of everybody. So it was a great experience. And he went with James at the end of the album over to New York, and they mixed it together over a week. Yeah.
Actually, you mentioned it's only 2 or 3 weeks to record the album. That's pretty quick, especially for a large group. Were you, did you do it all together, like the whole band, sort of like live recording? Is that?
In a way, well, we demoed the songs up earlier as a live band.
Right.
And to be honest, I'm a little vague on how it happened. Alex, can you enlighten me?
We did demo the entire album, including songs we didn't use on the album, before it, so we were prepared, essentially, to play it live. But it was all multi-tracked, and we had to do it pretty fast. We sort of did it live in terms of we had about 5 members of the band recording the rhythm section tracks, so the bass and the drums, and I think some of the basic percussion, like the congas and timbales and stuff, were part of that initial thing. And we kept almost all of the drum and bass tracks from that. And I like that because we were still playing as a band when we recorded it, as opposed to just, here's the drummer playing to a click track, and then I laid my bass on top, and then the next bit. I think there was rough guitar tracks of all the songs, and then Richie went back and did, you know, his overdubs in a better way, and Money, other guitarist at the time, did his. And for the rhythm section, we did it all in about 3 days. I had to go to Croatia straight after, so luckily we managed to get it all done in 3 days, and which was something that especially me and Rota, the drummer, were very proud of, because we didn't have hardly any you know, long takes and stuff. I think maybe 3 was the most we did for any song. In fact, I'm not even sure if we got up to 3 on anything.
Yeah,
so that was good.
Yeah, because the thing is, the band is not your only commitment. You have other things like jobs that you have to attend to. How hard is it to make time for rehearsals and gigs and traveling? Is it, Vuk, do you struggle with that?
Yeah, you do, but you just, I guess you just drop everything else because you love this too much, you know. You kind of try and juggle it around. And I mean, for me personally, it's not that much of an issue because, you know, just try to somehow balance it all out. I mean, I do have a house now, and, you know, I do have some pretty big commitments, but at the same time, you know, you just try and fit it together, because if you love something enough, you when the time comes, exactly, you have to make some sacrifices, and just try and juggle it all together.
Good.
And we both enjoyed the band's gig, as we said earlier, at the Australian World Music Expo last week. What can one expect tomorrow night at the East Brunswick Club? And have you done a gig before with Labjack? Who's going to answer that one?
Well, we did a gig with Labjack, to answer Alex. Your first bit. Maybe someone else can tell you what to expect. I'm the bass player. I'm standing at the back, but I do go pretty crazy. Labjack, we saw them at... We played with them. I don't know if we spoke to the guys.
Woodford,
but they were at Woodford Festival we did a couple of years back, and that was fantastic. We got to play with Blue King Brown and...
Yeah.
There was another one. I saw their poster in the pub the other just today. Pablo Discobar, yeah. There was a few Melbourne bands, and we played with Labjack, and they were great. They were fantastic, and so I'm really looking forward to, getting to have a chat with those guys. But as in terms of what we're going to do tomorrow, maybe Richie can explain it.
Or is that James's job?
Yeah, James will be good at telling you what to expect.
He's probably listening in.
So yeah.
MC hazardous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's
he knows how to rack it up.
But obviously,
you can imagine what 13 people can bring to you, when you go see them.
I mean, it's very lively, obviously. It's loud and it's very good music for just bouncing around and just having a good time.
Yeah, exactly. It's a party band. It's a party band. It's not, and we like to interact with the audience, which is always good for everybody concerned.
Even though we might be doing some complicated things, some kind of muso-ish things, it never gets that far. I don't think we ever stray away from the fact that we just want people to dance for the entire time we're playing.
Yeah.
And if it starts getting a little bit too tech, we're quick to rein it in and go, wait a minute, going off on this crazy jazz chord progression here is just going to, no, okay, wait a minute, where's the beat at, and just keeping it simple. I mean, simple but still interesting to us.
Yeah,
I think if we made it too dumbed down, just dance, pop, house music or something, we'd all get bored pretty fast.
Well, exactly, because it's very repetitive.
Yeah, and that's a balance, that you have to try and work out pretty quickly.
Okay, so what can we expect from the band in 2010? What are your plans?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole point we came over here at the World Music Expo was to try and get some more exposure offshore to the Europe festivals around the world, not just Europe. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, our manager has been doing some very hard yards, talking to all these delegates that came over this time, and also he'd been to other events in Stuttgart and over in Brazil as well. So from that, we're trying to piece together a tour in Europe in June, which will be really good for us. We're going from everywhere, from Portugal to China, in fact. So that's on the horizon.
That's far Europe.
yeah. Take a lift. In recording wise, the album's out in Australia now. I'm not sure how much we're going to put into it in terms of keeping the momentum going with the album in Australia. We've released the single Trembling, which you played earlier in the segment. I'm not sure what the plan is in terms of other singles following that. I know the band really wants to knuckle down and get into another album in New Zealand very soon, and hopefully we can release that in Australia next year. We'll see how things go.
Good.
Well, thanks for coming in to talk to us tonight on Global Sounds on Joy 94.9. Richie, Alex and Vuk from Batakata Sound Machine. And Batakata Sound Machine, who are from, as you probably heard, from New Zealand.
And can I just put a shout out?
Yes, sure.
Can I shout out to Sean, Michaela and Cohen, who are driving home tonight after buying me dinner. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys, for coming.
Thank you.
This is a podcast edition of Global Sounds on Joy 94.9. In Melbourne, you can tune in on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. on 94.9 FM or online at joy.org.au/listen-live. For more information, visit joy.org.au/globalsounds.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.